blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings of their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhis are Anangachachami, Dityampi, Satyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again, name the self. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Yamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Viridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that fruits this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all the laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through Purantayana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day! Oh, happy, blessed place! Oh, happy, blessed time! Oh, happy, blessed path! Oh, happy, blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi svaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gain of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. tears and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So thank you for the visiting month program this year.
Yes.
And it sounds like there's some emotion with that.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of emotions. One thing as I was going through yesterday and beginning of today, that thank you is kind of overpouring from me to everything.
That thank you is overflowing to everything.
And I saw a couple of things that I kind of saw what abundance is.
Mm-hmm.
And being in abundance.
Would you say again, you saw what abundance is in?
And being in abundance.
And being in abundance.
Yes. And receiving also, receiving the abundance. And the paradox just came up. I was I'm here experiencing abundance to the to my bones. And when I go out of monastery, I have like a car, an apartment full of stuff, and then a garage full of stuff. And I'm not an experience of abundance.
Uh-huh. So just that really experiencing that abundance to your bones in a situation that does not have all of the quote things that you're accustomed to having around you in your life on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. And that's what conditioned mind would say what abundance would look like. I wasn't thinking about it. It just came as experience, as receiving it. And those are another small thing. yesterday or the day before, when the sour cream was available in a pickup meal.
The sour cream visit, yes.
There was a lot of things were going on. There was somebody who came like, okay, I'm going to practice not to crossing the guidelines, and finding that receiving that sour cream as a gift, as something that was that wasn't expected. So that touched something that that kind of breaks through the conditioned mind of things that I should have in order to be happy. Going into a place of, I don't know what's going on, I'm just checking the list, and I'm in the experience of receiving. I'm kind of failing to describe it as I hear myself. But so I took two scoops. I had to like reheat the borscht in the microwave, so it was very hot. And when I put those scoops in the borscht, they kind of rolled from the spoon as a balls, and those big balls were in the hot soup, and they kind of rolled, and they were glistening. These kind of small details.
So just receiving the abundance of that, and if I'm following you, it sounds like you had there was a decision made that you were going to follow the guidelines, and maybe there was an expectation that certain things were not going to be offered due to the guidelines, and then when coming to the table and seeing that there was sour cream offered, it was, you know, just really being opening to the abundance that was available and partaking of that, and then also just seeing the beauty.
Yes. And our conditioned mind would usually go to like, oh, okay, kind of, what's the big deal? You take it, you didn't. Was given or not, it's just sour cream, it's focused on content. But receiving it slowly, so seeing those balls glistening and then going outside to eat, and they shine on the sun, and the cone of the plate, I have this plate with a kind of flat sides, and it looked like the bowl of ice cream, and it was filled with it was like sitting on a hot day with two bowls of ice cream in the plate, and I received that. So I took the time to be with it. It just was natural. It wasn't making any effort.
It was not. It hadn't been your focus for the day.
No.
Practice abundance.
Yeah.
And this just arose spontaneously, sitting there, with just looking at your plate and seeing the abundance there.
Yes. And then I took a spoon and I, instead of like mixing it or starting with soup, I said like, okay, I'm gonna try the sour cream. And I scooped it and it tasted like ice cream. It was amazing. I couldn't believe myself. I was tasting it so I had to take another little scoop from the bowls to go into like, no, this is not possible. And it's keep tasting like ice cream. And I was like, wow, what is going on? It's sweet, it's creamy, it's I think maybe because the ice cream was from the fridge and maybe the borscht was hot, maybe the combination, I don't know what, but kind of being in a miracle of that experience. You know, that somebody not only served me sour cream but also ice cream on a hot day.
just being there and conditioned mind would want to have a whole conversation about what sour cream is,
yeah,
and that this is sour cream, but you know, just being present to the miracle of the abundance in front of you and being open to anything and actually tasting ice cream,
yes,
on a hot day, and just having that whole experience of what that is like, how ice cream on this hot day given.
Yeah. yes, and when I finished the soup and there was still a little bit of sour cream left, I thought like, well, okay, I obviously took too much sour cream that I needed, but I mixed it with the salad, and it again tasted like very unusual things, that it's sweet, it's kind of those magic experiences that continue. And now as I hear that saying that the place where I went, the magical place, I was there, and in that place everything looked like magic.
In that place, would you say that so you were experiencing this place of magic where everything was really present.
Yes.
Really present to what was in front of you and enjoying it without, yes, a conversation, I would project.
Yes. Yeah. That's just an hour or half an hour out of 1 month of experience here, I wouldn't have a whole group time to go and describe and say thank you. And this morning, the saying goodbye to the porch was like kind of stroking the bald head of the porch by the broom.
Stroking the metaphor, the bald head of the porch with,
yeah,
the broom, and,
yes,
saying goodbye to the porch.
Yes. Yes. And I realized, we have a relationship. And, especially with the bathroom.
Experience in that relationship with all that you come into contact with in your time here as a visiting monk.
Yeah, again and again, this is my fourth visit, and the thing about bathrooms, they are kind of the same, so it's, I mean, all things kind of slightly change, but the bathrooms, they seem the same that been waiting for me when I left.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So with it, I hear you, it's like kind of returning to an old friend, returning,
yes,
to a relationship that,
yes,
you've had previously.
Yeah.
And you've been here four times and returned,
yeah,
to the bathrooms,
yes,
that many times, and it's always like welcoming.
Yes. And then before that was cleaning bathrooms, and I went through each of them. And I felt like I was saying thank you, saying goodbye. So, Yeah, I'm just very grateful for this program. And it's continues to be a challenge for me.
It continues to be a challenge for
you. I'm here for the fourth time, and especially this time was a challenge because the conditioned mind was, well, okay, but by the fourth time, you got it. You know what's going to be there. I know.
I know, buddy. The conditioned mind would say, okay, now we know. We've been there four times, so you know what's there.
Yeah. And, wow, what a mind-blowing experience of not knowing. And rediscovering. And even having the old friends, but it's not in a sense of like, oh yeah, well, I know that friend, that's his name, blah blah blah. It's receiving this, receiving that. By the time I get to the bathrooms, I was already experiencing, okay, everything new. Everything new, everything fresh. Now, fresh, and comes, and bam, comes the old friend that is kind of brings that relationship that, again, was not expected.
Yeah, surely. I mean, you were hearing from conditioned mind that it's going to be the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And then having this experience of really newness and reading each thing that conditioned mind would say, oh, well, you know what that is. You've been there before, but we're coming to it with a whole different, it sounds like a whole different attitude of mind.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so that attitude of mind arrived maybe after the first 2 weeks or even maybe like on the third week, and they came like, oh, yes, I'm so grateful, it's a month, I have the rest, maybe a week and a half to be and practice in that freshness, in that newness, it's that smell, like a touch, like so the difference between the conditioned mind is kind of known. It doesn't have a smell and touch, but the freshness brings those things that are kind of much bigger than can be put together, so that the smell of the hot day, the trees when they stand on the hot sun for a while, they start to smell with their what's it called there? The soap.
The sap.
The sap from the pine trees. It's on a hot day, it smells.
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
So just seeing that the senses, it sounds like the senses really help bring you to the newness of everything, that presence, and that's one thing conditioned mind doesn't have.
Yes.
Doesn't have a nose, doesn't have ears, eyes, all those things to take in.
Yes.
The newness of everything around. With all of the senses, rather than any what you've been describing this morning, just an old, worn out, standard, boring story.
Yes.
And exactly. You know.
Exactly. That's the story. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you for the this program, all the monks and the Sheri and the Ashwini and the garden and the meals are amazing. And on the meals, we had like a few meals Pasha never had before.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the blowing of conditioned standards about having the pizza, it was a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. So that was another, belief that got blown away by this piece of.
Yes. So I'm feeling now I'm going through 11 months retreat there to come back to this to here. I'm committed to take and go through those 11 months kind of carrying Pasha to that back.
So seeing that 11 months until the next time to return as another retreat, and being able to carry Pasha in maybe the same way that the bathrooms are carried and the porch is carried and all of that, to be with until the return to the monastery.
Yes, and what I hear when you say that it's not a guarantee, of course, but what a gift. It feels like it's part of your life. It's part of your life.
And to include in on the thank yous for all of it, the person keeping the commitment to return thereafter.
Oh yes, including when I went with the thank you, it just goes to all life and includes Pasha too, as part of that life. It felt like, again, that experience of love without borders. It's a thank you without borders.
I just went right to those experiences that they were being talked about, and the thing that the way what that touches on and what I'm looking at is around just the detachment and letting go and being in the process regardless of whatever content is here.
The detachment and letting go of whatever experience was just.
Well, letting go of the content of being the process.
Letting go of the content of being and just being in the process.
Yeah. Because so yesterday I was aware, of course, that this would be one of the visiting monks would be leaving soon, and so it brought up a question in my mind is of how would I feel if I was thinking this last night, if tomorrow were my last day to be here in the body. And what arose was, I would be so sad. But then I was really looking at it and seeing that that there is a way of being when we get to live here. There is a way of being that is available everywhere, and we're training to get that in this wonderfully supportive, beautiful, everything environment. But that if we think that it's somehow attached to this property, we miss it. We miss the kernel of the training, which is that it's everywhere.
Just what you started with, to noticing that sadness arises at leaving the monastery and then realizing that's the context.
Yes.
And to realize that we're training to bring that process that we're training in here at the monastery everywhere, regardless of context.
Yeah. So here I was going to the experience of smelling a tree on a hot day, sitting here inside the meditation hall. I was in that experience just because I was moving my attention to that experience. It didn't have to even be outside,
yes.
Right? And I could go to that experience.
Yes.
And to me, that's just the marvel of being a human, that we have this ability to choose, to choose isn't exactly the right word, but direct our attention in that way. Yeah. That we can be, we can't choose the life we want by choosing where, by training and moving the attention and holding it at awareness and all those things that we learn here, you know, that we train in this practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just strengthening that muscle, so to speak, mm-hmm. to direct the attention to the life that we choose, mm-hmm. to the life that, you know, we're here to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, mm-hmm. so that we can suffer, you know, mm-hmm. to see that. To realize in that example this morning, it's possible to even smell the sap in a tree on a hot day. Just the whole process of that sap.
Yeah, and you know, the guide says it over and over. That's regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the content, it really truly doesn't matter. And I've been reading something around detachment, or they call kind of mortification, and. It's totally transforming how I've been looking at what mortification is. You know, mm-hmm. it's a term that I sort of grew up with in another religious tradition. But I'm seeing the true detachment is letting go of that which would pull me away from washing the dish in that moment, or being with the tree on a hot day. It's not, you know, oh, I shouldn't have sour cream, or I shouldn't be, you know, whatever.
Wow.
It's denying or saying no, not to the sour cream or not to the pleasure, but to that which it pulls us away from whatever is right here.
Yeah. That's great. So the true detachment is actually being with whatever is right in front of us, fully, 100%, and letting go of whatever distracts us.
Yes.
From that experience.
Yes, and I think it was in the musings I just read it, that I think this was where I read it, the St. Francis de Sales quote about him, and he used the word trifle. That word for whatever just helped me so much, like, okay, I'm washing a spoon. Now, that's a pretty trifle thing to be.
Oh, that's it. The voice would say that is definitely
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I got to think about bigger and better things than this, you know, or be present.
Or I have to wash that spoon and get on to something bigger.
Yeah, that too, exactly. But to just practice, you know, that constant moment by moment, sweet, delicious attention to whatever is here, that's what we get to train here and get to then live. I don't know, I just am feeling very inspired by that whole dimension of life in this practice.
Sweet, delicious attention. Just brought to everything that's right there. The trifles, which then become our life.
I love that that statement, conditioning mind to have a conversation about sour cream. I think I'm going to make that one of those things I remember. I just thought, you know, it's so true that so you're having this experience, this sensory experience is just wonderful, and conditioning wants to have a conversation about it. It's so perfect. That's sour cream. Excuse me. That's sour cream. It's not ice cream. And there goes your life. You know, there goes your life energy and your experience. I had this experience this morning of we have these two new kittens, and I had an experience this morning of watching them utterly dismantle my desk. I mean, everything was on the floor, it was being chewed on, it was being stomped on, it was being thrown around. And, you know, and conditioning wanted to say, excuse me, these are papers. These are important papers, you know, and this is a photograph, we don't do this with photographs. And it was so much fun because for the kittens, this is stuff to play with. Everything's just a plaything, you know. And to let that be, to just get that I think they're papers, but the kittens just know that they're things to play with and chew on. And getting in, you know, just dropping that whole, I want to have a conversation about sour cream right here, to, wow, look at that. It's very fun. I mean, it's a practice experience, you know, to just observe.
Yeah.
And have a sense of the experience of these are all just, everything's just playthings. Everything's just toys.
It just, again, reminds me of the museum, you know, to be with a child and see what's, you know, the world to a kitten or a child. All those things that are like so important.
Mm-hmm. And we know.
And we know what you know. You don't know about that. And you have to take care of it. Don't you know you don't mess with that stuff?
Yeah.
Now, at first you do, you get punished, or, you know, yeah. You just see it from the eyes of it. It's all play.
That's right. It's all play things. Yeah, it just reminds me. It just, and how ingrained those definitions are, you know. So I know that I don't like Brussels sprouts, but every time I eat them, I love them. But every time they're presented, I think, I don't like Brussels sprouts. It's crazy. You know, it really is crazy. And I just wanted to also just say out loud that getting into that conversation about sour cream, or any conversation, I'm really seeing more and more that part of this conditioned person's experience is that part of the conditioning is to believe that the conversation is doing something. That
yes.
Being in that conversation is accomplishing something.
Yes.
That it's somehow the work that needs to be done, and so there.
Yeah.
I've done it. And I mean, standing back from it and hearing myself say that, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But in the moment, I can get into a whole huge explanation of how things are, mm-hmm. you know, because I understand mm-hmm. how things are, mm-hmm. how they should be, mm-hmm. what's wrong, what's right, mm-hmm. and I can lay it all out, and I can feel so satisfied that something's been done.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is having a conversation about sour cream.
It just reminds me, it's kind of like watching a travel log on a television set, you know, we've actually been to Hawaii. You know, it's that same sort of condition. You know, we just have a conversation about everything and convince us that we're actually doing something about it and it's necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's entirely different than having the experience in this room of smelling the scent.
Yes.
But it can feel like it's the same thing. It's very tricky.
That's very tricky. You're right.
I mean, if I watch the travelogue and I go there, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like someone was talking about watching the turkey vultures and having that experience, mm-hmm. feeling what it would be like to soar. Mm-hmm. So if I can watch the travelogue and go there, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if I watch the travelogue and think about it and say, now I know about that,
wow,
it's a whole different thing.
Very, very essential difference.
Yeah.
So one is like really going to, would you say like a memory or a sensing or a place of I know what that's like to soar.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel that. I can be there with the turkey vultures versus this knowing like, okay, turkey vultures soar and
it's sort of like the difference between watching the travelogue and traveling. If I'm watching the travelogue and I'm traveling, that's a different experience than just watching the travelogue.
And one could go traveling.
And that is never have been traveling.
And probably never have the same experience as a person watching the travel log.
That's right.
It's like really having the experience.
That's right. You go to the place and write the postcards home and think you've been there. Yeah.
Very good point. June, did you have?
Well, just this is a fun conversation. It's talking about senses, being in your senses. I go in and out of that pretty sharply, it feels like. And it lately I've been kind of in the body, in the senses. The word that occurs to me is mindfulness. So often I don't feel the cushion. I don't feel the ground on my feet. I don't feel the air on my skin. I don't know where I am or what I'm doing. I'm falling for the story. Mm-hmm. The conversation is what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is something other than what I make up more about.
And yet there's the awareness that you're not in the body, sounds like.
When I'm not in it, there's not the awareness that I'm not in it.
But then when you come back...
When the little tap comes up to, you know, hello, and, oh, and there's just a tension literally inside the body, in the senses.
In the senses.
Right here, right now, in the body, in the senses. The attention is just turned from the thought process. And it's just awareness in the moment. And you can guess, knowing me, that my most immediate experience of that is on thought course.
Yes.
Yeah. A few months ago, I was absolutely giving up golf. Absolutely giving it up.
You were giving up all the time.
Yeah. Because, yeah. And I just, it's just not available to me anymore. And then one day, not long ago, I was playing, and that, and, you know, and I wasn't thinking about it, and I don't, it's not something I does.
Yeah.
That shift in perspective happened.
Yeah.
And it's been great fun ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it to other things.
Uh-huh.
And listening to the conversation about the trifling things and the sour cream and the helps me see how there's still a whole lot of stuff that I'm not present to. I'm not in here in the body before. And that's just kind of inspiring and encouraging.
So inspired this morning to the conversation around experiencing things through the senses. And having this experience recently where you're going to give up golf, and then it sounds like someone else showed up on the golf course besides that I. That there was just this experience of, would you say, like golf, life playing golf?
Yes, yeah. A body playing golf instead of a conditioned
mind. Yeah. Which is really an ugly thing, you know. Yeah, to just have that experience that really is how much shifted.
Yeah, it just was one moment, it was old story, negativity. This is hard. And the next moment, it was feet on the ground, in the body, hands on the floor, air on the skin. It was just, you know, light.
Mm.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of those religious moments.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Well, for me, just hearing it, it's a religious moment. So it's just have that experience of, wow, just being present, having all the senses open, no conversation about giving up golf or being hard or that.
Hearing on the radio show of various different areas where people are talking about how upsetting the outside world is and how people are having a real hard time dealing with what's going on in life. And it was just so beautifully dealt with in the musings,
mm-hmm.
how what that is outside that we're seeing outside is really a manifestation sensation of the choice that was mentioned earlier of the two places that we can be, mm-hmm. which is aligned with and belonging to and participating in life, or being separate from life, engaged in a conversation that has nothing to say but what's wrong and what's not good. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like really, it's like a magnifying glass being put on that choice to look at it outside what we're seeing, how extreme it seems. But what that is really just conditioned mind acting out the worst of its nature. And that we have the choice to drop that conversation that, and also the thing that it really helped me see is that, you know, looking at what's happening outside, it's very easy to see that it's happening there, and I'm seeing it, so it's not me that's that way. But to see that all of that is in here.
Yes.
And to realize not only that we have a choice of which of those two realities to frequent or exist in, but we have a responsibility. The end of that was like, whoa, step into the fact that our, as practitioners, our aspiration is to be the Buddha. It's like, wow. And yet, anything that would actually react in that way, that that's not possible, is really that program that's...
Wow. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. The whole thing was just like, whew, man, it's like everything just condensed into a, you know, a short, several pages of...
Yes. A very powerful museums article that just came out for, what is this, August? And as you said, just seeing that the conflicts and that are, you know, what we see in the world, just owning the projection of that, seeing what's also occurring within. And our responsibility to, in what we're doing in the practice, as we talked about this morning, learning to train to direct the attention. Mm-hmm. And our responsibility to train in that way, practice in that way, mm-hmm. to be the embodiment of the mind.
Mm-hmm. And what I saw in it too, and that it seemed like it was probably designed to create this. But I'll speak from my own experience. My reaction to what's going on, the violence and the hatred and the greed and the stupidity. See, there it was. The person, I can react to it from that place, and I can be being that while I'm judging.
And you can be practicing being the Buddha?
Well, I can practice that too, but I'm saying when I look at it and I judge it as something different than me, I am not different from that. I am being hateful and violent and unloving in that kind of judgment, and to separate it out like that is denying my responsibility. Yeah. And what the invitation was in the musing was to take the responsibility not to deny what is going on, but to take responsibility for being the choice to be in alignment with our goodness rather than what ego would identify as our nature of greed, hate, and illusion.
Look at what we're practicing and take responsibility for that, to be in alignment with what's authentic.
Yeah, and it seems to provide a really wonderful framework to actually see how in little instances in life, which place am I choosing? Mm-hmm. Which choice am I choosing? Mm-hmm. Seems.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big world event. Just look at it too in day to day life.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, we're back to the trifles that seem
back to
trifling.
The trifles yeah. that are the things that make up how we are.
Yeah.
How we are with the dishes, how we are with the bubbly vine that's in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Wrong place, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Is creating the reality that we're living in. Mm-hmm. So all those little choices again, that seem insignificant or trifle, are really big.
Yeah. Yes. How we are with this moment, focus into the next moment.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
Regardless of the content again, the process. So.
Exactly. Exactly, and it was another way to see, for me, not what, but how.
Mm-hmm.
The how. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to be out doing some big project that's going to change some big part of some mm-hmm. group of people's life or something. Mm-hmm. I can wash the dishes mindfully.
Mm-hmm.
And be kind and caring with my plates and spoons and things, and be building that kind of environment within this person who can then be in a place to share that when she goes out and mixes with the world, rather than be just another crabby old person. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just not, never any time to not be, I don't know how to say it, not be practicing. It's like there's never a time to go to sleep. That each thing that we're working with is an opportunity to practice and strengthen that. Strengthen the intention.
Yeah.
Strengthen alignment with authenticity. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. in whatever experience we find ourselves, we practice that.
Yeah, and when we're, you know, when I'm by myself, I can think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
nobody's going to, I'm not affecting anyone right now, but I'm affecting me if I'm not in a kind and caring and loving interaction with life as I'm doing it, in, whether I'm with people or not.
And would you say if we can see that we're affected, who knows what else it may be affecting?
Right. Yeah. So I mean that music just opened the door, that door always.
Yeah.
It's going to be something really, really lots of things to work with.
Yeah. It's very timely. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jessica, did I see you here?
I guess first is when maybe 4 or 5 I should be doing one program and just at times overwhelmed by, at times hysterically giggling at how confounded conditioning is and trying to like relinquish and maintain control, and just gratitude for the space to sort of that aha moment of like, yes, this is why I came here. To see it in a way that just isn't possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say that. But that it's so much more evident in
exactly.
a supportive environment.
There's not a whole lot going on here other
than look at that.
Yeah.
So and I can see why it would be, you know, why it's so challenging to show up every day for this. And so just gratitude for all of it, myself and everyone here that makes that possible. And I had this moment in the kitchen washing a cutting board, and just this rush of sort of love and presence mm-hmm. come over me, and it just felt as if I was like washing a newborn in the sink, and it was just so this is it. Mm-hmm. And so I've been, my commitment has been to sort of bring that practice of presence while eating, and in just my first day of doing so, feeling like I'm just tasting food in like this whole new way. And I had this moment of, you know, almost like tasting the food, all the little flavors in it, all the bits of it, and absorbing and tasting and feeling all the love that went into preparing that, which I was a part of, and that just a beautiful flow that happens in the kitchen that I think is really miraculous, and just like experiencing all that in spite.
Mm-hmm. Boy, great description of abundance. So just, you know, taking that process of just being present with the cutting board and like it was a newborn, and bringing that to food and having, you know, what is so not available to us when we're eating in conditioned mind, but having available that whole, oh my gosh, you know, putting together the food where it was being made, even, I don't know if you said this, but you mean the food being grown and delivered and the tastes and the whoa
was right. and so what I'm seeing a lot of it, I've seen lots of things, but the one that sort of keeps bubbling up right now is sort of this desire to plan and prepare. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like an endless list of why preparing and planning needs to happen. For some impending doom down the road, to get it right, to prevent wrong, to be on time, to do it better. Well, it goes on, and I realize it goes on and on. And so I'm seeing how that impacts my eating, and then everything, the working meditation. And I had this moment this morning where I was, you know, doing some movement, yoga, as I often do in the morning, and have these to do yourself with your own body PT exercises from some injuries that I've had in the past. And I had this moment doing them where I noticed the conversation around, you should be doing this. Do you really want to be doing this right now? And this, mm-hmm. Did you choose it? You know, this whole thing. And I noticed the conversation right away. And I was like, I don't know. And I had to, and I was like, there's the planning and preparing again, I had this moment of realizing that, or it sort of occurring to me that it does, that part of the reason I go into doing these exercises, at least sometimes, is this fear, mm-hmm. that I will go back to this place of injury that was more than a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And that maybe I don't want to be driven to these exercises, mm-hmm. for that reason. Mm-hmm. And so what if that also, like, so it means I have to go back to PT again, right? Mm-hmm. Or that this other thing that's more new is that I'm doing it so that that goes away and then my body is okay now. I think my body's okay right now, actually. And I checked in with Mentor and, like, my God is amazing. It does all these wonderful things for me every second of the day. And so then I guess maybe I'm raising this as curious for guidance. So there's this moment of, well, should I just let it go and see what happens for a week? But also part of it is, like, it doesn't really matter whether I do it or don't in the grand scheme of things. Like, if I'm going to do it, be with it instead of doing it because of, like, you know, when I go back, if I don't do it, when I go back home, my shoulders can be fine, you know? So just be really present with it. And I think conditioning really likes to get in. There's this fine line between something you need to do, need to take care of yourself, and something in the moment you're doing because you're really moved to do it. And so it's something like a, quote, injury or preventing injury. Conditioning is like breeding ground for conditioning to be like, let me get in there and jumble this all up, so then you don't, like, know why you're doing it. And you're not there when you're doing it.
Boy, good point. you know, that it just wants to get in there and have a conversation about whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter. And as you said, it wants to pull in the planning and, you know, the for whatever reason, whether to get this right or to not be injured again or to whatever it is, you know, that's, we know, this condition of mind. And then I hear you also describing another aspect of practice with all of this, which is the spirit of inquiry, sort of, like, you know, just watching and seeing. It sounds to me, and what you saw so much with this morning, and that, you know, that's what we do with practice. We watch, you know, we pay attention, and we just have insights and gather information. And like, the, you know, there's just no thing that's, well, as the right or the wrong thing to do. There is no thing to plan for. But gathering information and seeing, you know, noticing, ah, that sounds like a conditioned mind. Oh, that feels like the heart. And, you know, it's, I always like this term, recalibrating. You know, it's like recalibrating.
I appreciate saying that because I think part of what I've noticed part of what conditioning is doing and often does is I'm new, all this stuff, you've got to check in, you've got to talk with someone about this, you've got to do something about it, and it's just like you keep getting back, oh, there's nothing to be done. I'm just noticing this, and I think we talked about it the other day, it's just like the ups and downs and the just coming in and out, and just trusting that those nuggets that drop in stay with me, and I have them. I have to write it down. I have to make a plan. But that nugget is in me. I'm getting a chill saying it. It's with me all the time, and just trusting that.
Just trusting that. Those insights never go away. They're just there. They're part of. They're a part of this form, you know, and available when needed. And not have to fall to the writing it down, the planning.
I don't have a watch. Do you have a
3 minutes?
3 minutes. How fast? How fast? Okay. Mm-hmm.
We'll have something at 3 minutes.
There's a beautiful neighborhood I left that in the garden.
Yeah.
All those old ones we took out, and they're dead as a doornail on a sneak plant.
Just don't
miss it.
We moved all the dead as a doornail and a beautiful new. It's the kitten thing again. So beautiful new hollyhock came up. Thank you.
For those of us who don't know our plants, what is it? Hollyhock and park.
Was that really, really, really tall one? It had the blossoms all the way up.
This is
a short one. It's only this tall. It's a baby. Okay. And it had a brand new blossom on Thursday anyway.
Okay.
And yesterday, I think, actually.
Thank you.
Brand new blossom. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you all.